Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 this is Lee and Keith, Real Talk, episode 138. Back with another episode. I got my boy here. I'll see, there's a little 1 second off right there. Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Yeah, Lee and Keith, Real Talk, 138, my bad. I was just a little confused with the duration right there. But anyways, we're in it. Wednesday night show this week. Last week we did Friday. We love the Fridays, but I love the Wednesdays as well, especially with the fact that I'm out of work right now too. So it kind of doesn't Fridays and Wednesdays doesn't have that much of a difference where I don't really know. I know what day of the week it is, but it just doesn't have that same Friday feel as when I was in work, because it doesn't have the end of the week feel. The week it kind of just like kind of randomized. So. Anyways, how you doing tonight, bro? How you doing out there?
Oh, man, I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
All right, cool. I'm trying on a new headset tonight. So, yeah, man, I'm good, man. Just hanging in there, bro. Thought I was going to be able to go to the barbershop this weekend, but that ain't going to happen. So, got to let my hair grow out another week. Well, I might have to shave it again, but outside of that, I'm just hanging in there, man. You know, taking it day by day. Just staying positive, bro.
Yeah, man. Did Colorado end up opening up?
Some places open on Monday. Some other places are going to open today. There's some other places going to open Friday. And then next week, you'll see a little bit more places open on Monday. So they're doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, right now, the barbershops, beauty salons, and nail places and stuff like that, they don't have specifics of how they want them to open. So they're going to have to wait to see what comes down as far as what they're going to need to open back up.
Okay. Yeah, over here we just got extended to May 18th, stay-at-home thing, and the whole state, the businesses are going to stay closed at least until May 18th now, so that tacked on 2 more weeks, so we'll see what happens. But
I'd rather be safe than sorry. At least y'all being safe, and I think we're jumping the gun. That's what I say. I think a lot of people worried about the economy and stuff like that, and I think we should be worried about, you know, people's safety and well-being. So we'll see how it plays out. Like I said, everybody can go out and do their thing. I'm going to lay back for a couple weeks and see how crazy things get. And then, you know, I'll probably step out one day, you know, go have me a beer or something at a bar or something. But outside of that, hey, man, I'm going to play it safe.
Yeah, that's all we can do. I went for a walk today. Got out in nature a little bit. I brought my mask. I wore it when I felt like it was, you know, when aware I felt like it was necessary to. I'd be lying if I said that I didn't have moments where I took the mask off, because, my belief is I'm not gonna wear the mask where I feel like it makes no sense to wear it. Because when I go, I gotta go for a walk, get some fresh air. I just try to stay away from people, and I'm not gonna wear a mask where I feel like it's not necessary to. But I definitely it was good to get out there, enjoy the weather a little bit. It was definitely a really nice day out here in Boston. Bright and sunny day. It was like low 50s, which, you know, for us is like treated like a summer day, because it does get pretty cold out here in the winter. So we always have pretty cold winters. So when it gets up to, when the weather hits 50, we're pretty much driving with the windows down, and we're really embracing that. So that's what I went out and did today, and that was really nice.
Yeah, I think it was in the 70s today, maybe 80s. I know there's one of these days supposed to be in the 80s, may have been today, but I worked. I ain't even been outside today, so But it's nice out today. Probably in, I know it was in the 70s today, but you know, man, the crazy part is right about now, our trees are starting to form leaves and stuff. But this year, man, I'm riding around the neighborhood, man. All the trees are still butt naked. So I don't know.
Damn, it's a lot warmer out there than it is in Boston. How you said it was in the 70s today?
Yeah.
Wow. So we really have some. Damn, we're used to a lot. I guess we're still in a. We had some 60 degree days. We had weather in the 60s for a minute, but kind of always falls off. We won't really start seeing weather like that till probably May.
Yeah, you know, man. The weather just crazy anyway, man. Due to global warming and stuff like that. You know, a couple of years ago they were talking about El Nino and all this stuff, but you know, the weather just crazy anyway. Because here, I mean, everybody, you know, they might be walking around in shorts today, but hell, tomorrow you'll be in a sweatshirt. You know what I'm saying? You might be in a sweatshirt,
yep,
a hoodie, and all that because of the change of the weather. So, you know, I don't put my winter clothes up till June. Right after Mother's Day, I'll probably put my winter clothes up. Because that's just the way it is out here.
Hey, is your it sounds like your mic is breaking up a little bit. Are you?
Am I good now?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit better. It was just kind of a little choppy before.
Yeah,
back, you sound more clear now.
That's probably because I got to keep the phone up by my mouth. That was my bad.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, man. It's. You know, next weekend, you know, I was just saying to one of my friends today, you know, on the phone, I was like, you know, are you aware that the Ultimate Fighting Championship is hosting an event next weekend and the main event is going to feature an interim lightweight title fight? Are you aware of that? And
yeah.
And he said, man, it's 10 days away. And I was like, it is 10 days away. We're getting a interim title fight for the lightweight championship of the world.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, I think Dana and the ESPN are hell bent on this fight happening. I think they're gonna do everything in their power to make sure everybody's safe, which is my biggest gripe that I just didn't believe they was trying to put on a card back in April. I just didn't feel like they was going to do everything in their power to make sure everybody was safe. I just felt like they just wanted to put on a fight. But now I feel like they take I know ESPN for sure is taking this virus seriously. I still don't know whether or not Dana is giving this disease the attention that it really needs or the respect that it garners. So, but I think ESPN will. So hopefully you know, that the fight stays and we get a good card next weekend.
Yeah. Hopefully they have tests for the fighters and I feel like a good thing that hopefully they'll do is hopefully they'll do temperature checks. Hopefully they'll do temperature checks on the fighters. You know, when and where they, you know, it might make sense to whenever that, you know, right before the fight or before travel, would probably, you know, probably do a couple temperature checks at different points leading up to the fight. And just to make sure that, you know, because if one male or female fighter would on the card would start coming down with symptoms, you know, it'd be in everybody's best interest to get on top of that before there's, you know, a good amount of people congregating in the same place. I know they're going to, you know, I expect they're going to keep it minimal with how many people are allowed to see the fights. They'll only have a small few amount of media there to cover the fights and whoever they have to broadcast the pay-per-view, the announce table. I know I figure they'll try to keep everybody, you know, everything to a minimum with the minimum amount of people they really need to just to get the fights on camera and get them broadcasted and get it done. But yeah, I think that could be a good measure. Hopefully they're doing things like that. Hopefully Dana White's planning to do things of that nature to try to get a step ahead of it.
I think it's going to be a very interesting fight week. It's going to be very, very interesting. The face-off and stuff like that. And then after I thought about it last week, you asked me about that. And everybody is going to be tested and all that good stuff. I think we'll have our traditional face-offs because why wouldn't you have a face-off if they're going to get in the octagon the next night to fight? So you might as well just go all the way with it. So, but I don't know whether or not they came up, whether or not they said the Ngannou-Rozenstruik fight was going to be for the interim heavyweight championship. I read that somewhere, I want to say last week, but the UFC hasn't announced it, so I'm guessing it's just going to be a title eliminator fight.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up with the headlines a little bit more. I wasn't paying attention as much to Twitter since quarantine started because I knew there wasn't really going to be much to read about besides fans just speculating random things and watching old fights. But now that I feel like this event is 90% likely to happen, maybe even 95% likely to happen at this point. Now I've been starting to read the headlines a little bit more, and I haven't seen anything around about the interim heavyweight belt. So, but I figure, though, that fight, I mean, it's kind of weird because, like, Rozenstruik, if Ngannou wins, I feel like Ngannou was kind of already arguably already the number one contender even without that fight because he's already on, a big win streak, and we know he pretty much finishes guys – almost every fight. So, and then Rozenstruik, I mean, he beat Overeem, but I don't know. He kind of just really got into the, I think he kind of just really got here in terms of fighting like high level guys. I feel like Overeem was really his first. And I think Overeem was maybe like number five or number six, actually probably even lower. I feel like maybe seven or eight when he fought him. So I don't know if Rozenstruik beats Ngannou, I don't know if he will jump up to fight for the belt. I'm not sure because at the same time, like, I'm not trying to be like pessimistic, but if you really think about it, think about this. If you have Stipe versus Rozenstruik, or if you were to have DC versus Rozenstruik, does either one of those fights sell tickets?
I don't think the DC fight does because when we think of DC at the heavyweight, we think of DC as the heavyweight version of Khabib. But I think Stipe and Rozenstruik sells tickets because of Rozenstruik's power. And we remember how clinical Stipe was against Ngannou. So I think I'll be more interested in Rozenstruik versus Stipe than Rozenstruik versus DC.
And now think about this. So I'm just going off the heat of the moment here. Just exactly what we're speaking on is do you think that if Stipe, say Rozenstruik finishes Ngannou, which for the record, I'm going to just put it out there right now. We're going to do our predictions. I'm thinking next week we'll do our predictions probably I don't know if we want to do Wednesday or Friday next week. Maybe we'll do it Friday because we'll see how it goes with the weigh-ins and everything. But I'll give my list of predictions next week. But I will say this now. I don't think that Rozenstruik is going to beat Ngannou. I really don't think so. I feel like Ngannou is so from what I've seen, I think Ngannou has a lot more power. I think he's so much more dangerous, and I feel like I feel like his footwork is a lot better too. When I watched Rozenstruik, when I watched him in the Overeem fight, I really wasn't impressed with him, and I feel like if Overeem didn't get finished at the end of the, I forget what round that he finished him in.
It was a winner fight. It was a third. Because it wasn't a main event.
Exactly.
Fight, I don't think.
Yeah,
he finished
in the last three seconds. Exactly. I couldn't remember if it was a main event or not. But I know on my scorecards, I was having Overeem winning that fight, probably by unanimous decision, honestly. I could have believed if he were to get at least 30-27s across the board in that fight, at least, because I feel like he was up on the cards clearly. I don't even think it was a close fight. Overeem looked really good, and that's why I was pretty upset when he got finished at the very end of the fight like that. And see, the thing is that's why I feel like Ngannou's gonna. I would definitely tell anybody who would have bet to take Ngannou in that fight, because I just feel like he starts out a lot faster, and I feel like Rozenstruik takes a lot longer to really pick a guy apart. As where Ngannou just comes right out like a cannon. And I don't know if Rozenstruik has even fought somebody with that kind of power. I don't even know if he can handle that. So, I kind of lost track of why I was even bringing that out there. But, Ngannou, I definitely have Ngannou over Rozenstruik. My thing with Rozenstruik, though, is that overall, him versus Stipe would be an interesting fight. But do you think that Stipe would be afraid of Rozenstruik's power and he would want to wrestle if Rozenstruik were to beat Ngannou? Do you think Stipe would go the same route and try to wrestle him, or do you think he would stand and bang with him?
I don't think Stipe would try to stand and bang with him. I think he would probably use the same game plan he used against Ngannou. Show us that you can get off your back. So most of these, like, I haven't seen Rozenstruik on his back. So that's why I think Stipe would incorporate the same game plan he used against Ngannou. I mean, why would you, to me, take unnecessary punishment in a stand-up fight when you don't have to? I think also Rozenstruik, for some strange reason, he's going to have to show us that he can wrestle a little bit against Ngannou. If he doesn't, Ngannou is going to win, because that's what Ngannou wants to do. Is he want to stand up and fight. He don't want to get on his back. He don't want to wrestle. So if Rozenstruik stands in there and wants to stand and bang for 3 to 5 rounds, I think that'll be a mistake. And if he does, he will lose. But I think he's going to show us something against Ngannou. I think he's going to go for some takedowns. I think he's going to do some things to make Ngannou think, you know, why he's in there. But I want to see which one of these guys. I want to see how these fighters, period, haven't gotten better since the last time we've seen them fight. Because some of them, we already know what they do. Like, we know Tony can do everything. We know Gaethje supposedly can wrestle, but basically he's a stand-up fighter. Has he added anything to his game as far as, you know, fakes, takedowns, and things like that? Has Carla Esparza, has she worked on her striking? Has Michelle Waterson, you know, has she worked on her stand-up game, you know? So it's a lot of fights out there I mean, a lot of fighters out there that when we see them, have they added any new tools to their toolbox? Because this is the time that you should be working on stuff. Because basically, I mean, I know you can't train the way you want to train, but there's still things that you can do as far as improving your game.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's going to be good to see how a lot of the fighters on the card could change up. One thing that I definitely was thinking about earlier today is Cowboy Cerrone. And when I say Cowboy Cerrone, what I'm getting to is that he did an interview, I think, with Bokumoto, ESPN, and he was saying how he mentally shut down. Like he said, he mentally shut down 2 days before the McGregor fight. And he said he knew 2 days before the fight that he didn't want to be there and that he didn't want to fight. And he was explaining that he pretty much, he mentally fell apart. He said it was almost like, I'm not quoting him word for word, but it sounded like he was saying was that he basically felt like he wasn't even there. And you've said that many times on this show, is that Cerrone has a tendency to not show up in big fights. Every time he gets a big name fight or a showcase fight, he gets a big chance. He doesn't show up when he fights, regular fights that maybe it's not a title eliminator. Maybe it's just kind of a, hey, fight this guy. He looks great, a lot of the time. We've seen a lot of crazy finishes from Cerrone. We've seen a lot of big, big wins. He's had a lot of, inspirational moments. That's why he has so many fans. But every time it's under the big lights, he tends to shell up, and he doesn't look like himself. He said in the interview, he said Donald showed up that night. He said that was Donald in there. Cowboy wasn't there. And what I'm getting to here is that I'm really looking at Donald Cerrone on this card because he's fighting Showtime Pettis in the main event of the prelim card, which I think is a great place to have them because that's you have that to look forward to at the top of the prelims. And those guys deserve that spotlight. And also, I mean, you have two veterans, and also it's that last taste that you get right before you go into a main card, which it's that last fight that's probably going to be really exciting. Now we're starting the main card. Like, I feel like for the UFC, that was a great move to put them on the prelim main event. I'm sure you would have said, I'm sure you would say, why didn't they put them on the main card and then put Greg Hardy on the prelim main event? Which is totally valid too. But I think either one could work for different reasons. And I'm just looking at Cerrone on this fight. So relating to what you were saying, where you want to see how many fighters on the card have improved their game and in areas where they needed to improve their game, I'm looking at Cowboy and I'm saying, I want to see a great performance from Cowboy. Like if there's anybody on the card that I want to see win, it's Cowboy. Like there's nobody that I want to see win more than him. And I'm really rooting for Ferguson hard. Like I'm fanboying hard for Ferguson next week. When you hand me in the predictions, I'm fanboying super hard. And on Twitter, you're gonna see me fanboy super hard for champ shit only. All week, all fight week. It's Ferguson time. It's Tony time next week. But I'm rooting the hardest for Cowboy, because I really want to, and I hate to say it, but I wouldn't mind seeing Cowboy get an early finish of Showtime Pettis, just because I want to see him win that bad. And it's hard because you want to see, because I bet you, Showtime Pettis fans, and I'm a fan of him, but just he's not as much. I'm sure his fans want to see a big win from him too, because he hasn't looked great in his last couple runs at it. Neither one of them have really looked good in their past couple runs at it. But I think that's why it's such an intriguing matchup from the UFC. And that's why I like that fight so much, because I feel like they're really both, if you really look at it, they're both in the same place in their career right now. They both really need a win, and they both haven't looked too hot in their last couple rounds in the octagon. So I really hoping to see Cowboy switch up and I hope Cowboy shows up, and you know it's not Donald, because I need that. I need to see that from him.
I think the biggest thing with Cerrone is, you know, I don't blame it. I admire him being honest. But my thing is, you know that that's probably going to be the biggest payday of your career. Outside of the money, that would have been the biggest win in your career. And you mentally checked out 2 days before the fight, man, he could have got seriously hurt, you know, coming in the octagon in that state. Man, it's just like with Mackenzie Dern was it Mackenzie Dern the one that was having problems making weight and she got knocked out in like 40-some seconds? You know, it's like stuff like that, man, you could really, really get hurt. And to me, I'm a Cowboy Cerrone fan, but one thing about him is when he's active, I mean super active, he'll give you two good fights, then a stinker, then give you another good fight, and then a stinker, and then he'll take time off, and then he'll give you two good fights, then a stinker. It's just like, he definitely, in title fights, he hasn't won a title fight in God knows when. And then, you know, who was the last big name he beat? I mean, you got to go back. He lost to Leon Edwards. He lost to Conor McGregor. He beat the young kid, Hernandez. I think his name is Hernandez. But you just never know what you're going to get out of Cerrone, man. I think you know what you're going to get out of him.
No, he beat Hernandez.
Yeah, no, wasn't that his last win? Because he lost to Ferguson, he lost to Conor.
Yeah, he lost to Gaethje too. Cerrone is 0-3 in his last three, and Pettis is 1-2 in his last three. So neither one of them are really in good standing, and Pettis looks, you know, in my opinion, really bad in his last two fights, which kind of puts him at the same spot because I feel like Cowboy, in my opinion, looked good.
Pettis was really competitive against Ferguson, though.
What?
Pettis was really competitive against Ferguson, and he was actually against Nate too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying here is that, I'm saying just in respect, because I was trying to match up both of their last three fights.
Yeah.
And Pettis's last three fights, you had his fight with Diego Ferreira, which he lost in submit. I think it was second round submission. I don't think he looked good in that one. He didn't look like he wanted to be there. In his previous fight, he fought Nate Diaz. Me personally, I didn't think he looked good in that one. You might have think he looked good in that one. Maybe he did look good. I personally didn't think he looked good. I was kind of disappointed, especially after the performance that he had versus Wonderboy. And I think that was why I didn't think he looked good, because the way he fought versus Wonderboy, at the same time, I guess some could argue that he didn't look good versus Wonderboy either. But at the same time, the last thing I can remember about the fight is the way that finish was. And the finish is what I really remember from Pettis in the fight, was just him, the way he finished the fight. So I guess that kind of, in my mind, overshadowed the way he looked up leading up to the finish, which if you would have asked me, I would have said he was down on the scorecards versus Wonderboy if it were to go that way. But of course it didn't. But and in respect to Ferguson, both of the guys I think look good versus Ferguson. I think Pettis, because I actually watched Pettis's fight with Ferguson, because they got the free fight up, which you need to watch. If you haven't already watched it, it's up on YouTube now, so you can watch it again, because that's just such a good fight. And everybody go watch it. If you don't know, it's there. Go on YouTube and go UFC channel. Look up Ferguson Pettis' fight, because it's there. And it's that is an all. I think that's an all-time great UFC fight, and it doesn't get talked about enough. That Pettis looked really good there. But But I was just saying in respect to both of their last three fights. And Cerrone looked really good because he had before the Conor fight, he fought Gaethje. Of course, he got knocked out versus Gaethje. But before that, he fought Ferguson. And I think he looked really good versus Ferguson. I think he was definitely in the fight. And I honestly don't think that that Cowboy would have definitely got finished. I don't think that I'm suspicious of whether he even would have got finished if he didn't try to blow his nose, which made his eye puff up, which is basically why they had the doctor stoppages, because he couldn't see out of his eye. But he kind of did that to himself. So in a way, it sounds funny, but Cowboy Cerrone kind of TKO'd himself versus Ferguson.
Yeah. I think, like I was saying, I think against Wonderboy, though, I think Pettis, he looked like his old self in that fight. He actually looked like Showtime Pettis, fighting at a weight that he's supposed to be fighting at. He was moving around. He was light on his feet. And whether or not he could sustain that for the whole 3 to 5 rounds, who knows? But I know he looked good, and I think that was a round one. I think he looked good during that first round when he got the finish. I thought he put up a good fight against Nate. But the thing is he was scared to take chances against Nate. I think with Nate, if you want to stand the bang with Nate, that Nate doesn't mind that. I think with Nate, a lot of people get scared of his jiu-jitsu, so he know that they probably ain't going to try to take him down. So he'll be the one that take you down. You know, probably he might get rocked or something, then take you down or whatever. But the whole thing was, it was like, it was just like, I think Pettis, he's good on the mat too. It was like, take him down, bro. I mean, don't stand and bang with him. Standing the bang with him is what Nate wanted to do, and that's kind of like what happened in that fight. But is this fight? Are they fighting at 170? Pettis and Cowboy. I hope they're fighting at 170 and not at 155, because they both have looked good at 170. And I think Showtime, when he starts to move around and weight up and down. You know, he kind of seems to struggle from fight to fight, so you never know what you don't get. So hopefully these two guys will figure out what weight they want to fight at and stay there. And I think this is a rematch, too. I want to say they fought before.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure if they fought before. I know it definitely felt like a rematch when I saw that they were going to fight. I looked at it and said, wow, I feel like I have deja vu about this, but I'm really not positive if it is or not. I definitely haven't watched them in the octagon before. I know if they did fight, I didn't see it, but I didn't know about it. But it does seem like how haven't these two guys already fought kind of thing. My thing is it's one of those fights where, like I was saying, it's hard to pick because it's two guys who I feel like are both kind of fan favorites in a way. And they're both at a place where I think both of their fan bases want to see them get a win. And like you said, they both looked good at 170. When Cerrone was at 170, he was beating guys. Actually, a good point to make is I didn't see the fight, but I know statistics still matter to me. And when you look at it, one of the most dangerous guys at welterweight right now, his name is Leon Edwards. And if you go back and look at the tapes, Cerrone brought him to a decision. And Leon Edwards is Leon Edwards a big finisher?
No, he's more of a technical guy. Whereas he's gonna outfight you, you know, he's a smart guy in there. He if he catch you, he'll finish you. But he's not one of them guys that's going to go out there and, you know, knock you out with one shot. But, yeah, Cerrone did fight Pettis back in 2013, and he lost to him via KO.
Okay. So, yeah, even more reason why I'm going to be rooting hard for Cerrone, because I think he needs to get that win back. You know, I just need to see him in the win column, because if he were to take a fourth loss in a row, man, I'm just going to be – I'll always be a fan. I'm not a guy who – I'm not the type of fan in anything. Like, and I was saying this a couple weeks back, is even though, like, we were talking about the Patriots, and I said, you know, when they go through this rebuild stage, which they are going to be going through in the next – I think for, like, for the next 5 years, you know, 4 or 5 years, I think they're going to be in a rebuilding stage, probably even longer than that. But I always remain a fan, whether they're doing good or they're not. And, you know, I'm always a fan. I rock all my memorabilia. It doesn't change, you know, my attitude. I'll still watch the games. Like, it really doesn't change that to me. I'll watch it if they're, like, you know, one of the worst teams in the league. I'll go to the Celtics game. Like, hey, the tickets are cheap. Like, who cares? But, you know, no, my point is that if he were to lose again, I'd still be a fan, but it'd just be upsetting to see that. Because, you know, Pettis has lost 2 fights. Cerrone's lost 3 fights. And when you think about it, he kind of lost all 3 of them. And it was disappointing. All of them kind of hit. It was sad to see the way each fight ended. I mean, Ferguson, I still don't take that as Ferguson finished Cerrone. Because to me, he didn't. Cerrone TKO'd himself by blowing his nose. And it puffed up his eye. But, And then when the memes circulate, they show Cerrone's picture and they say, look what Ferguson did to Cerrone. He didn't even do that to him. And if you look at a picture of Cerrone before he blew his nose and his eye got all puffy, he looked fine. And you can't say he didn't look fine, because the same fans who would show that picture and say, look how messed up Cerrone's face looks, are the same fans who watch Nate Diaz's fight and they say, oh, Nate Diaz can bleed and look like a zombie, but he's good. He's going to still fight. So you can't do that double standard, because some guys you'll say, oh, look how messed up their face looks. He got destroyed by Ferguson. And then look at Nate Diaz's face. Oh, no, he's still in the fight. He's good. You can't do both of those. You can't have your cake and eat it too with that. Cerrone looked fine and he was in the fight and he maybe – he maybe even could have won the fight. I'm not ruling it out. I think he would have lost the decision, but I think he probably would have rode to a decision. I don't think he would have got finished if he didn't blow his nose. I think he would have been fine.
Yeah, I was just looking at Leon Edwards' record. Out of his 12 UFC fights, 9 went to the judges' scorecards, so he's not a big finisher.
Okay, so I guess in a way. That kind of disproves what I was saying. But, yeah, go ahead.
But, like you were saying, Cerrone was in the Ferguson fight for sure. But did you get the feeling that he could do anything to win the fight? When I was watching the fight, I didn't have a feeling that he could do anything to win the fight. I thought, looking at the fight, I was like, all right, we're going to get a, you know, it's going to go the distance, you know. But I didn't feel like Cerrone could do anything to hurt Ferguson unless he pulled something out of his bag. But that's one thing about fighters that can do more than one thing, though. If you can do more than one thing, you got a better chance of winning a fight, especially when you're behind on the scorecards, because you can, you know, you might be able to take somebody down and submit them. You might be able to catch throw a leg kick to the head. You might be able to hit, sneak in a strike that rocks them. That's why I like guys that can do more than one thing, because if you're a one-trick pony, basically you got to hope that your one trick is on point that night. So, but this Pettis Cerrone fight should be interesting. But like I said, I know you brought the Greg Hardy thing up. I just don't think Greg Hardy, the fight that he's having, wants a position on the main card. I just don't understand the UFC infatuation with him, and I probably never understand it. but that's neither here nor there. You know, man, it's just, I just hope, man, that everything goes off without a hitch next week, man. Praying for the fighters, praying for the setup crew, the cameramen, the announce team, you know, man, praying that everybody come out of it, go into it safe. You know, man, it'll be great to see something live, you know, to get that feeling back.
Yeah, and I think that would lift a lot of people's spirits, too. I like what you said there. I think that would lift a lot of people's spirits to be able to see some fights, and hopefully everything can be done safely and keep the fighters, you know, out of harm's way, too. Like I was saying, hopefully they could do temperature checks at the door and things like that to you know, get ahead a little bit. So, no, I'm hoping to see a good card. You know, speaking of Leon Edwards, something that I wanted to bring up, and I might as well, I think this is something that you would usually ask me about, but I'm going to ask you about it. So I was reading this on Twitter earlier today, and I guess Leon Edwards, who we were just talking about, has called out my boy, Tyron Woodley, for ducking him. Has called him out again, saying that Tyron Woodley is ducking him, and that he refused to fight him. And Woodley responded on Twitter, and you know, this isn't all of it, but part of what he said was, "How can I be ducking you when you can't even get into the States right now?" So he said, "People say I'm ducking you. You can't get into the country. People say I'm ducking Kobe, but Kobe's asking for too much money." He said Kobe's asking for $5 million, so that's why that fight didn't happen. So, what do you think about that?
To be honest, I really don't think that Woodley want to fight Edwards, man. I think Edwards is a bad matchup for him, whereas I think Kobe could probably be the better matchup. But at the same time, I think Edwards is using Woodley to try to make a name for himself. And I know that's the best way to go about it, is by calling out guys that are more popular and more famous than you. At the same time, Woodley was willing to come to fight you in your backyard. So you can't say Woodley is ducking you. I mean, he's not. I mean, you can't get over here. There's travel restrictions, man. He can't get over there. There's travel restrictions. So ducking is a strong word, and I knew Kobe Covington wasn't going to fight Woodley. I knew he was all talk when it came out, because he's that guy, man. He's a talker, and that's all he is, man. So, out of the two, I'd rather see Woodley versus Edwards. I think that'd be a good matchup. I think Edwards, being a technical guy, I think Woodley would have to fight like he fought against Damian Maia. He had to be patient. But he can't be too patient, because I think Edwards would hurt him with the way he fights. He likes to fight close range, Edwards does, whereas I think Willie likes to fight from distance. So it'll definitely be an interesting fight. I don't think you get Woodley versus Edwards. I think the next fight we'll see from Woodley will probably be Woodley versus Gilbert Burns, the guy that just beat Damian Maia. He beat Damian Maia. Yeah, I want to say he's the guy that beat Damian Maia. I think that's the fight we get next, Gilbert Burns versus Tyron Woodley.
Man, but I'm glad you brought that up, because my thing is that now somebody said this on Twitter last night, and I don't really understand where this came from. They were saying that, you know, one guy was saying how Woodley has accepted every fight that he was offered. Another guy responded and said, but did he accept did he accept Gilbert Burns? And I responded and I said, now, and I said this, I said, think about this now, and I want you to think about this. If you're the number one contender that Tyron Woodley is, because he was just a champion, so he's still the number one guy. If you're the number one contender, why are you going to fight a guy who just barely made it, who just a minute ago made it on the scene? Why do you have to stoop down and fight that guy? Gilbert Burns, I don't even know where he is in the ranks. I couldn't even tell you what rank that he, if what number he even is at. I don't even know if most people could tell you what number he's at. Is he even in the ranks? I don't know. But regardless of it, why, if you're the number one contender, how does it make sense to stoop down and fight a guy like that? Why, if Woodley is 38 years old, why at this point in his career does he have to fight that guy?
Well, Gilbert Burns is number six, so he is in the top 10. But the Gilbert Burns thing came up when the Leon Edwards thing fell apart, and Gilbert was like, I'll fight Willie. You know, he said, I'll fight Willie on short notice, and that's when they started beefing.
But honestly, I'm thinking about this. When I've been playing UFC 3, so I got UFC 3 recently. You know, I finally upgraded from UFC 2 to 3. And I've been playing the career mode. I went through the career mode, and then now I'm playing a second time with a new character on the career mode. And one thing I really like about the game is, like, when you're early on in your fight career, they offer you multiple fights. They'll offer you, like, two or three fights at a time, maybe even sometimes four fights at a time. And each fight tells you, like, what level of hype the fan hype is for that fight. It also tells you, like, what you'll get paid and what the guy's records are. And it kind of gives me an idea of possibly what the fighters are going through when they get multiple contracts at a time. And then the fans come to these conversations where they say, well, how come Woodley accepted this guy, but he didn't accept to fight this guy? Oh, he's ducking this guy, or he's scared of this style. He knows that's a bad matchup. Now, the thing is this. Now, what I'm starting to realize, and I got into this mentality through playing the career mode, and I'm not saying this is – I don't know if this is exactly how it is, but it just gave me the impression that fighters are pressed by people that want them to fight everybody. But at the same time, why wouldn't you always try to get the highest ranked guy? When I'm going on career mode, I'm baffled when I get offered. Sometimes they'll offer me a number 11 guy, or they'll offer me the number one contender. And then that literally happened to me yesterday. I was playing career mode. It offered me the number one contender fight, and it offered me the number 11 guy. Why wouldn't I pick the number one contender fight? Why would I pick the number 11 guy to fight? What, so I can impress the fans and prove to the fans that I'm a warrior and that I'm a real fighter? Who gives a damn about the fans? If I'm a fighter like that, I'm trying to climb the ladder. You know, you got to do what's best for you. Like, I think a lot of times people get too caught up in thinking with the fan mentality and wanting to see every fight and being caught up in that whole scuffle of fighters, you know, wanting to fight the top guys, that we forget that a lot of fights don't make sense. And that for a fighter, why wouldn't a fighter, you got to think of it from their shoes. And why would that guy not want to take the highest level fight he could get? And especially, why wouldn't he want to take the fight that's more likely to bring him closer to the title, or to bring him to the title fight, which in Woodley's case, he'd be better off fighting Colby than he would fighting Gilbert Burns.
But the thing with Colby was, we knew Colby. I mean, for everybody that don't know, Colby Covington really doesn't want to fight Tyron Woodley. He's had multiple chances to fight Tyron Woodley, and every chance he either backed out or he's demanded too much money. There's always something about him when it comes to Tyron Woodley. And I think Gilbert Burns was just there because the UFC was trying to find an opponent for Tyron Woodley since the Edwards fight had fell through, and Gilbert Burns had basically just beaten Damian Maia. But at the same time, like what you just said, would you fight the number one guy or the number one contender? Of course you will fight the number one contender. But depending on where you rank that, you shouldn't even have the opportunity to fight the number one contender. It's just like with me, with Dominique Cruz. There's no way in the world Dominique Cruz should be in a title fight. Why is Dominique Cruz in a title fight? It ain't because of his win and loss record. It's only because of his name. He shouldn't even be in a title fight against Henry Cejudo. That should be Aljamain Sterling or Petr Yan. So it's just, man, it's the matchmaking in the UFC is something to be desired. I know you can't always get 1 versus 2, 3 versus 4, stuff like that. I know you can't always get that. But at the same time, you have to make your ranking system mean something. And right now, the ranking system don't mean nothing. I mean, to me, the casual fans are winning out over the real fans because it seems like they make more fights to bring in the casual viewer than they do to bring in keep the real fans. And prime example of that is this Henry Cejudo versus Dominique Cruz. To me, I don't even see why that fight was made. It's just ridiculous. Would I watch it? Of course I would. But do I think that Dominique did anything to warrant the fight? No. He did nothing. He lost his last fight. And he's been injured. He's been out almost three years. Why is he fighting for the belt? Well, you got two young guys fighting up the ranks. And Aljamain Sterling, Petr Yan. You got my man, Corey Sandhagen. You got these guys that are actually putting in the work. And you're going to bring a guy from behind the desk to fight in a title fight. I just don't understand that. I don't like it. And it just goes to show that ever since I can't think of who was the prior matchmaker for the UFC, but since he's been gone, the matchmaking has gone to hell as well. So, you know, hopefully they'll start making the ranking system mean something. But at the same time, it's like what you said. If you're the number 7 guy, they offer you a fight with the number one guy, of course you're going to take that fight. But at the same time, if they offer you the number 11 guy, you know, sometimes you got to get a guy below you a chance, you know, because you was in that position at one time. So I could see it on both sides.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize I had my microphone muted. I was actually talking, and I was wondering why you said that. I didn't realize I had my microphone muted. But anyways, yeah, I was saying there's a lot of variables that can go into that. We could probably sit here and pick it apart all day.
Yeah.
You know, I could respond to what you said and say, well, why, and still say, but why, if you're Tyron Woodley, would you fight the number 6 guy? Because number 6, if you were just the champion who had four consecutive title defenses, why would you care about the number 6 contender? So even being in the top 10 really doesn't even matter. He's looking at top 3. You know, Tyron Woodley is, I feel like if Leon Edwards is number 4 and Tyron Woodley was willing to fight him, I'm even surprised at that. But I think the reason why he was willing to fight him and go and fight the number 4 guy, which is kind of low, is because getting a fight with Colby, who it might be number 2, is like pulling teeth for some reason. Like that fight just, one reason or the other, just never happens, and he probably I'm sure he wants to fight, so he's willing to go down and pick a guy like that. But yeah, we could kind of go into that all day. There's so many things. I mean, and as to what you said about the casual fans kind of winning over and causing fights like Cejudo versus Cruz is that's true. You know, I agree with it. It's you know, Cruz was able to. I feel like Cruz is a guy that he doesn't really need to do anything to get into big fights or get into title fights. I feel like Cruz could come in and fight a title fight for the rest of his career. Like, he could not, he could come in and not fight another non-title fight for the rest of his career because of the way that he is. He's very marketable, and I feel like it's different with somebody like Holly Holm, who I don't really think Holly Holm is that marketable at this point. I mean, I feel like she was marketable when, like, just after she beat Ronda Rousey, and you were able to, like, play that clip back and kind of get fans excited to see her fight, you know, Miesha Tate for the title or whatever at that time. But that was, like, 3-4 years ago at this point, and I really don't think that's relevant. At least to me, it's not relevant. And what has Holly Holm really done since then? Nothing. So she's lost a whole bunch of fights. You know, she lost to pretty much all the top names. She lost to Shevchenko. She lost to Cyborg. You know, and those were fights that, you know, she should have won at least one of those fights. I'm not saying that it's bad to lose to the best names. It's okay, but I'm just saying that what has she really done lately to keep getting title fights? She wins and regardless of the fact, I'm just saying that somebody like Cruz, I feel like the casual fan causes Cruz to be where he is, because I feel like Cruz is such a fan favorite, and the fans he does have are tend to be diehard fans. They're not, you know, fair weather fans. His fans love him, and I feel like that's because he's a really inspirational guy, in my opinion. You know, a lot of the things he says, he's great on the mic. His personality is awesome. I even love his commentary. Some people don't like his commentary. I think his commentary is great because he you can tell he has so much knowledge of the sport and in different areas too. He's very, you know, well-versed in the striking. He's well-versed in the wrestling. You know, he talks about a lot of different things. He's very well-versed in wrestling, you know, even just down to the transitions. It's just like when you hear Cormier talk, and Cormier is so detailed about what guys are doing, and they do very good at analyzing fights, at least in my opinion. And I feel like that's why Cruz is able to get a title fight. I'm not saying that makes it right, but I'm just trying to make some sense of it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I understand he's a name, and you know, having a name is definitely like it's a good thing to have as a name, and being successful is good to have. Be successful is a good thing. Also, there is nothing about him at this time that you would say, yeah, he earned his fight. How did he earn a fight? He lost his last fight. He's been out for 2 years. Oh, he earned a fight because he was a good commentator. Really? But I do understand it. You know, it's the times that we live in now, man. It's, you know, names went out over rankings. So it's going to be I think we as fans just have to temper our expectations when it comes to matchmaking. Because what we was going to get, we was going to get Jose Aldo versus Henry Cejudo coming off a loss. Is like for real, I love Dominique Cruz on the commentary, like you said. There's probably no current fighter that does commentary that I would rather listen to more than him. I mean, DC is good, but Dominique Cruz runs laps around DC, if you ask me, because Dominique Cruz, when he breaks down a fight, he tells you why the person did it. He just don't tell you what they did. He tell you why they did it. He'll tell you, okay, he did this because he's thinking this. And, man, going into a fighter's mind is, like, great. Whereas DC will tell you the person did this because he saw this. You know, and, you know, that's great. I would rather know what John was thinking when he pulled his reverse backspin fist or something like that. What was he thinking? Why did he do that, you know? And Dominique Cruz normally gives you that type of insight when he breaks the fight down. And I think for this May 9th fight, I think we get Joe Rogan, John Anik, and I think Daniel Cormier is going to be calling that fight. I'm kind of shocked that DC is calling it, being that he has a family and kids, that he will actually do it. But I guess he's the ultimate company man.
I saw something somewhere that DC was saying his wife won't let him in the house after UFC 249. I don't know. Maybe that was a joke, but who knows. We'll have to see what happens next week. We'll get into our predictions. We'll decide whether we want to do a Wednesday or a Friday show. And maybe we get in around the weigh-ins. But, we'll definitely be on for our predictions next week. Hopefully the card stays together. And we get to see some fights. You know, I know that would make me happy, and I think it'd make a lot of people around the world happy too. And that's pretty much all I got.
We're gonna be busy next week, Keys, because for the next 2 weeks, because we got the May 9th card, and then they have a card on the 13th, and then they have another card.
And there's one that weekend too.
On the 16th.
Yeah, so we're going to have predictions, and then we're going to have to probably do predictions. Actually, the card's Wednesday night. Wow, yeah, I hadn't even realized that. Yeah, so it's so unorthodox that you have a card on a Wednesday night, so I just wasn't – I didn't even realize that was legit. I just didn't remember it. But, I guess we'll have to do like a replacement show, a pop-up show probably on – Monday or Tuesday night, actually, and then we'll have to get back on again probably on Friday to make predictions. So yeah, probably either Monday or Tuesday show, and then we'll get back on Friday to do the predictions for the Saturday show. So yeah, actually, yeah, we're gonna have to do, yeah, we'll be on twice. We'll be on next week for 249 predictions, and then twice the following week for those two cards. So yeah, it's going to be a busy week. I'm looking forward to it. I hope all the cards stay intact.
Yeah, me too, man. It'll be great to see something live. See live sports, man. Something to get your mind off what you're going through. So, I wasn't all in on the fights that they tried to have earlier. But I'm still not all in on this one. But I'm at least at 85% right now. So that'll probably get higher as we get closer to the fight. So right now I'm at about 85%.
That works for me. We definitely – we got to a lot tonight. I'm glad we got on. It's always enjoy coming on and chopping it up with you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, stay safe. Do what's best for you and your family during this time. And that's it. Everybody have a great night. Lee, finish up with, whatever final words you have. I'm good.
Yeah, man. Thanks for everybody for listening. Whether or not you record a show or you listen to us live, thanks for supporting us. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of others, especially during this time of need. If you can lend a helping hand, do it. If not, just send a prayer out, man. Tough times right now, but tough times don't last. Tough people do. That being said, Lee and Key signing out. Everybody have a good evening.